If you've got an issue in life and it's not being answered, it's either not God's timing, so wait. When you've done all, you stand. Or maybe we need to be praying the prayer of Jabez over our situational circumstances again. So, but in life, that, you know, that pioneer spirit we're talking about, that territory is coast to coast, or it's your borders. But the word border there means limit of influence. I have a archaic by a dictionary, and so I look up the original words, the meaning of words. And the meaning of that word means basically your influence. So I pray every day, Father, increase my influence. I get to come here. I got to come here, and I got to influence. Some of you guys' lives are forever changed because of this weekend, because you've learned how to put that thought forward. You've learned, and that's right, I could have had a V8. I could have had a Father Loves You. You've learned how to catch that orphan mindset and get the enemy out of your life. And you know what? If I don't do anything else on the planet, it's worth that, because when history's written about you, what's it going to say? History will be written about you. What is the legacy you want to have back there? Well, you don't understand, Trisha. I've done this, 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 and this. That's your history. Forgetting the former things, we move forward toward the mark of the high calling. So as long as we got our eyes forward. But what happens if you keep your eyes backwards when you're trying to walk? You're going to stumble right into something you don't want to stumble into. So when history's written about you, what's it going to say? All right, I'm going to give somebody, if they get this besides some, you can't answer this question. And if you've heard me before, you can't answer this question. But if you guess who this person is from her name, you can go out to my tape table and get anything out there you want. Anybody in here know who Agnes Gankahu Bohakahu is? See, that's why. Agnes Gokankahu Bohakahu. I'm going to tell you who she is. Well, kind of, sort of. She's a lady that had a heart for the poor. And she opened a ministry to feed families in Calcutta, India. She opened a leprosy clinic that, even though she's dead, today feeds, touches, and heals 90,000 leopards. You got it. Mother Teresa. When history's written about Mother Teresa, just a few months ago, again, she was Woman of the Year. Again, she was Woman of the Year. Did anybody know who Agnes was? But they do today, because of her legacy. I want that kind of a legacy. Here's the deal, guys. I want everybody to look at me, and I want you to remember this, and after I say it, you can go write it down. God is waiting for you to ask Him for a vision that matches His vision for you.
Wow.
That's huge. Woo. And sometimes we don't do it. God's waiting for you to ask Him. Why not? We don't have because we ask not. I want to ask you, Father, what is your vision for me? Because I realize that right now I'm physically tired, but I still know that it's more. That there's more. So, Father, show me what it is you have for me to do.
Amen.
Because, Father God, I want for you to enlarge my sphere of influence. You know why I do the things I do? One more. If I can touch one more heart, one more life, and help them understand what an orphan mindset is and how it keeps them stuck, and it'll help them to go and then live their life as an heir to the throne, that's the greatest joy that I can experience. Anybody in here see the movie Hacksaw Ridge? That's not a good movie. Oh, if you hadn't seen that movie, go see that movie. That movie was all about this guy. His name was Desmond Doss. And he's a real story. He was a conscientious objector. You know, everybody know what that is? In other words, he refused to carry a gun, but yet he went to war. Was he from Virginia here? Wow, Desmond Doss. How about that? Well, anyway, Doss, because he refused to carry a gun and he wanted to be a medic, he just wanted to go and help people. And even on the battlefields, he refused to do anything but trust in his God. And so he went out. You know, they tried to dishonorably discharge him from the armed forces. His guys in his barracks beat him up. He got beat up. He got almost beat to death several times because he refused to strap a gun to his hip. But in World War II, you know, whenever, I don't remember all the background behind it, but his platoon, his brigade or whatever it was he was in, they were trapped. And they walked right into the middle of a trap by the Japanese army. And in the middle of that trap, most of them were wiped out. And so when Doss woke up, because he was right there where a bomb went off, when he finally woke up, the first thing he thought, let me go see who else is alive. Are you? Is this one alive? He was a medic. And he said, I want to save lives, not kill them. And so he went and he went and he would find guys, but they couldn't move and they were in such agony. But yet the Japanese still had this hidden tunnel-like thing to where they would trap American soldiers. And so he would wait till nighttime when they were back up, and he would go and he would get those men and he would drag them down to Hacksaw Ridge and lower them down the ridge. And these are like 150, 200-pound men that he had a rope, and he would lower them down because the American army was down there waiting on them to pick them up. And he did that for 75 men. And in the movie, it shows his bones and his hands to where he lowered all these men down. And so at the end of it, when he was back in America, and he was, of course, given the Medal of Honor and all that, Purple Heart, and they asked him, they go, why did you do it? And this was his answer. One more. I can't leave them behind. So I would pray, God, give me one more. And he rescued 75 American soldiers came home because of the one more. Bless me, O Lord. Bless me, Lord. Enlarge my borders. Who would have ever thought that he would have gotten, as a conscientious objector, went overseas and gotten the whole platoon blown away. It amazes me where God sends me. It amazes me what I get to do. I would have never thought that a little girl from Red Bank, South Carolina, would get to do what I do today. I've driven over 550,000 road miles in the last 10 and a half years. I've met thousands and thousands of people. I can't tell you how many people I've led to the Lord. I'm not bragging. It's destiny fulfilled. You know, what if the Lord just wants you to just lead one person to the Lord? You know, whatever his plan is for you, that's all you're responsible for. I don't know why he gave me such a big plan, but he did. And since I've gotten a hold of this message, I continually ask one more, Father. So number one, bless me. Number two, enlarge my territory. So I want everybody to stand to your feet again, because I'm serious about these prayers. So, Father, I want you to pray with me. Father, I ask you to bless me with resources abundantly above what I'm going to need for my sphere of influence to be increased. I ask for favor. I ask for assignments on my job, in my life, with my family, at the coffee shop, wherever I am, Father. I ask you to enlarge my borders. And I give you permission to organize my day. In Jesus' name. Okay, number three. Now, if you're not serious about this, don't pray these prayers. And the reason why is because daily assignments are going to come your way. Money's going to come to you from places that you're going to be amazed. And when it does, I want you to say, oh, my gosh, I prayed that prayer. That's why. You see, whenever I meet people nowadays, you know, because, again, people sniff me out. Those of you who weren't here this weekend, people will walk up to me on the street, and they'll just... I've had people do that to me all the time. I don't know what it is different about you, but there's something different about you that I want to know, and it opens up the door for me to tell them. You know, I'm just that person in Isaiah 66:1. You know what God's looking for? A person plain and simple, reverently responsive to His will. Hello? That's you. I don't believe there's no superstars in the kingdom. You know, I love Bill and Benny with all my heart, but they're not superstars. They're my brothers and sisters. I love Billy Graham. Never met him, but did hear he read my book. I love Franklin Graham. But they're not superstars. They're just people fulfilling assignments. And see, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's people in the grocery store today. You're fulfilling your next appointment. And He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the money. I can't believe how many times I've had the Holy Spirit all of a sudden just say, walk up, buy that person's meal. And you know who I love to do it with more than anybody else is first responders. You know, the other couple months ago, I was in a restaurant, and I look for the, if there's a fireman at a table, one or two firemen or whatever, and if there's, you know, one or two police officers over here, I usually buy their meal. Well, the one thing about buying their meal, it's usually half price because most places give it to them for half price. So, you know, I walked in. I was on a ministry trip, and I walked in. I saw a couple police officers, state troopers, too. I love the troopers, in the back over there. And so I told the waitress, I said, don't tell them because they hadn't ordered yet. I said, but bring me the ticket off that table. I want to bless them because the Spirit, I don't just do that. The Spirit of God told me that day to do it. I'm thinking two people. I order my food, and I look up, and all these cops, 10 of them, walk into the room and go sit at that table. And the lady walks up to me. She goes, you still want that ticket? I go, I made a commitment. God's going to find the money somewhere. Their bill that day was over $300. That was my cut of commission on my tapes on the trip that week. But you see, God's always blessed me. He's got control of my pocketbook. Bless me, O Lord. Enlarge your territory. And here's one that Christians really hate to pray. Put your hand upon me. Because you know what that means? When you pray for God's hand, that's where His power is. When we pray to be in His face, or when we pray for stuff like that, God's face is His presence. But His hand is His power. Well, you little old, you shouldn't be praying for the power of God in your life. You should never want the power of God in your life. You should just sit and just do nothing. Let me tell you, y'all go ahead and do that. I pray, and whenever I know, like Randy Clark, where your pastor is this week, I've been in meetings with Randy. I'll run up to, and if Randy's got a healing anointing, if I'm in a whatever, because I teach in school, and all of a sudden I see that healing anointing pop down on him, can I borrow your hand? I'll run up to him, and I go... And usually before it's over, Randy's hand is doing like that, and I'm down on the ground. I want the hand of God. We need the power of God in our life. And there's nothing wrong with praying for God's hand to be upon you, keeping His blessings over you. Why? Because doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. So that's why this prayer is so important. Because if you continue to pray the way you've always prayed, you're going to get what you've always prayed for. But how about if you pray this prayer of Jabez in your life? How about if you just take a week, a month to incorporate this prayer? You're not manipulating God. Our heart is so right with God. So stand to your feet. We're going to pray this. And here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in this room right now, take the position. That's how we pray, you know, take the position. Take the position and put your hands out to the Lord. You're not begging Him for anything. You're asking Him to fill, not just to fill your spirit, but to fill you. And so I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want everybody in here to think about the one dream that you feel has been lost in your life. Everybody has at least one. I want you to pray for that one dream, and I want you to pray with me right now. Father, I ask for your hand, a power to bring into my life everything that I need to accomplish your will for my life. Father, would you forgive me for all the ways I've embraced that your hand is too short. Judgments that I've made against you, that you'll give me just enough to get by. I break agreement with that in the name of Jesus. So, Father, bless me and put your hand upon me in Jesus' name. All right, and the last one. Oh, Lord, you can be seated. Oh, Lord, keep me from evil. Lead us not to temptation. It's a prayer, Matthew 6:13. You know why you need to watch and pray? Because constantly, the enemy is running. He's hovering over you. You know, just looking for that open door. And you know where he usually finds it? Is right here in your pocketbook. Where my heart is, where my treasure is, there's my heart. So, Father, I want to pray. You don't have to pray this yet, but Father, I'm going to pray Matthew 26:41, Matthew 6:13. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Here's what temptation does in your life. It pits you against you. You ever thought about that? Temptation pits you against you because you will war in your mind constantly, time and time, or you'll step into begging God. You don't have to beg God for anything. Temptation weakens you. Because what happens if things don't do it exactly the way you think they ought to do it? That's temptation. That's control. But when you surrender, Psalms 37:5, my new anthem in the Passion. When you roll your burdens over to the Lord, he pulls it off perfectly. Anybody in here need some stuff pulled off perfectly? Thank you. That one person's going to get her answer. Temptation compromises your ability to believe in God's favor for you. Do what? Because you see, we've been told to live in a poverty spirit. We've been told all these lies that basically aren't true, because if you were here Friday night, because our image of God is that he's angry and mad if we don't let him control us. Again, he's in control of the universe. He doesn't need to control you. He's got enough to do. But when we surrender ourselves to him, you know, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. And here's the last one. Temptation alienates you from feeling safe and comfortable in his presence. And see, that's what the enemy wants. The enemy lived in heaven. He knows how many people. It's not that we don't need our evangelists. Of course we need our evangelists. But he lived in heaven. He knows how much room there is up there. He doesn't want you to have what he never had. And that's intimacy with a loving father. He never had that. He got kicked out of heaven for jealousy. He never could find that place of safety. And guys, we're all looking for it. And see, this is why these messages are so important in the church. Because the church needs to step back into their destiny. The church needs to believe and live in their life as sons and daughters. Let me tell you something. Remember who your daddy is. Remember who your daddy is. You know, there's another scripture in Romans that says, nothing can separate you. People get mad at me and they call me sloppy goppy. Call me sloppy goppy all you want. But here's the deal. Not pestilence, not poverty, not crises. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And if nothing can separate me from the love of God in the middle of my situational circumstances, I'm going to praise him. Amen. I'm going to praise him. Do I want to praise him? Heck no. In the middle of your crises, do you ever want to praise God? Most of the time, not. But it works when we do.
That's right.
So, 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that God doesn't know about, that is not as common to God. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, will he also make a way of escape? That's a lie. In my life, I felt it was for a while. Jack, Dad, we were going places. We were doing stuff. And in the middle of it, he dies of cancer. God, are you not healer? I never was angry at God. There were so many prophetic words that just seemed to fall away about all the things we were going to do. And I never once was angry at God. But I was confused. I was confused. You know, God, this thing happened in my life, and it seemed to me like it altered everything that you had promised. Yes. Now, I don't have an answer for why Jack's not here with us today, but I do have one thing. God showed me and my daughter. See, my husband died at 54 years of age with adenocarcinoma with a chest cavity in the middle of our ministry being top of the world. At 40, he was diagnosed with some type of rare arthritis, and they told him that he would be dead by the time at the end of the year. We prayed for him. He lived another 14 years. And it was in that time the revelation of the Father's love came. So see, I don't know why he had to die at 54. But God just forever shifted and said, instead of focusing on why he died, why don't you focus on the extra 14 years I gave him?
That's right.
And I did. And I started saying, thank you, Father. Thank you for this whole revelation of the Father's love that forever not only changed my life, but it changed the world. And again, my friend John Arnott said this not too long ago. I was went in some meetings. He came to celebrate. He's the father of the Toronto Blessing. And he came to celebrate with us on our 25th anniversary. And, you know, I said, boy, we've affected thousands of lives. And in front of everybody, he corrected me. And he goes, you need to quit saying that. And I go, why? And he goes, because in Toronto, we've touched over 9 million people's lives, 3 million of those first-time salvation. And every time someone comes through our doors, we point them to y'all. And we point them to this revelation of the Father's love. You've touched millions of lives, Tricia. Huh. Again, that's not pride. I've done a good job. And I could not have done it if it wasn't for this prayer, really. If it wasn't for the fact that my Father kept me from temptation, if it wasn't for the fact that his hand was upon me, if it wasn't for the fact that he enlarged my territory, and if it wasn't for the fact that he blessed me, I would not be here today with you guys. I don't know what I'd be doing, playing shuffleboard in a retirement community somewhere. If you play shuffleboard and you like it, that's fine. I don't. I'd rather be in Martinsville, Virginia, talking to people. So, guys, stand to your feet. Let's finish the last one. Because, you see, God does know the temptation. He does. He won't put more on you than you can bear because look at what I do. I never would have thought. And if Jack had been alive, I probably wouldn't be as strong as I am today. That's not a reason for him to die. But the bottom line, because he is dead, I'm stronger, I'm courageous, I'm brave. I'm not mentally insane. I'm not incapable. I mean, this is what people said about me. If I had given in to the temptation and listened to the lies, I wouldn't believe how strong my Father is. 2 Peter 2:9 says this, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's all about a trust issue. And trust issues usually go back to that whole orphan mindset. So what I want to do today is I want us to take this last part, you know, to the cross. And we're going to pray over that. And then as a mom of the kingdom, I want to bless you as a mother. And then we're going to have communion. And then we're going to go home. Okay, can y'all do that? Can you wait on that with me? Okay. So, Father, In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you already have a plan for my escape. And I thank you for that. But lead me not to temptation. Deliver me from the tempter. Give me your eyes to see it before it's in front of me. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that you know the plan. And I ask you to bless my life. I thank you for your hand over my life. And I give you permission for Psalms 139:24. Excuse me, it's 23 and 24. Search me, O Lord, from this day forward, and reveal to me any hurtful thing, and deliver me from out of the path of the enemy. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask Katie, or can we get a couple ushers? What we're going to do, y'all can sit down, but real quickly, we're going to have communion together. Where's my communion wafers? Are they? Yeah. And what we're going to do is if I could get two ushers, and there you go. Don't let people go through and do like that. Just grab one and move on. These are your communion. These are your communion wafers today. Now, Trisha, I am not making fun of Holy Communion. This is not Holy Communion. This is a better way to do communion, in my opinion. No, it's not. But what we're going to do, don't open it yet. So what we're going to do, instead of white communion wafers, we're going to take these little chocolate communion wafers. Because this weekend, you brave souls that were here all weekend, I cut your heart out in some areas, didn't I? But we just massaged it and put it right back in your chest and turned it around. So we're going to break agreement with a poverty mentality in our lives. Anybody up for that? Yeah. I'm up for that. So has everybody got their communion wafer? All right, they're coming. They're coming. Over here we don't have. Yeah, we got enough? All righty. So everybody look at your little communion wafer. And I want you to, Ghirardelli did a great job, didn't they, packaging this. And here's what I want you to know. It's symbolic, guys. This is just symbolism. And this is symbolic. This package is you. You're dressed beautifully. Look at that silver, shiny wrapper. Some of you are purple. Some of you are blue. Some of you are green, red. But you're all shiny. You're all amazing. And guess what? You're all individual. And as a mom of the kingdom, I want to bless today before we leave your individuality. I want to bless your creative ideas and your witty inventions. I want to bless you with a way of escape for whatever God has for your life. And so here's what we're going to do. In order to do that, we might have to break agreement with lies that we've embraced. Again, my lie is that Father God will give you just enough to get by because I judge this guy. And whenever I broke agreement with it, I can't tell you. Money comes. Does it get tight sometimes? Sure it does. But I got a plan. And all these are different. Some of them, I've got dark chocolate blueberry. There is salted caramel. There's dark chocolate. There's dark chocolate raspberry. There's dark chocolate covered mint. There's milk chocolate caramel. I can't tell you how many. There's peppermint bark. That's my favorite. But I can't tell you how many different flavors. Guys, you're a different flavor.
Yes, amen.
You know, you're a different flavor, but I can promise you one thing. I've tasted every flavor. Ask Katie. I do this all over the world. I've tasted every flavor, and they all taste good. I've not found a flavor yet that tastes bad. So open your communion wafer. You might want to keep a little piece of wrapper on it because they do melt. I don't have wine. That's at my home in my refrigerator. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a wine drinker. I'm just not crazy about it. All right. So anyway, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hold up our communion wafers and we're going to say, Father, thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for me. I thank you for the love that sent him to the cross. I thank you that my price has already been paid. I thank you that I've got full voyage to my next destination. I thank you that I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I ask you today to bless me. I ask you, Father, for your hand to be upon me. I ask you, Father, to enlarge my territory. And to lead me not into temptation, but with every act of temptation, I give you permission to show me the way out. And Father, I give you permission to take back control of all the things I've tried to control. And I break agreement with any judgment I've had that's hindered your perfect plan in my life. Enjoy your chocolate. So I want to encourage you for the rest of your life. Start your day every day with this prayer of Jabez. Start your life every day being grateful. Start your life every day asking God to show you, what's in my hands today? Start your day every day with grace for yourself and with mercy for others. And start your day every day being selfish. And what I mean by that, your Father, you're His kid, and He wants to bless you. He wants to give to you. And so, Father, as a mother in the kingdom of God, I'll leave a mother's blessing over this congregation. Father, I ask you that this congregation would grow and be in health and that they would prosper as their soul prospers, Lord. And I ask you, God, for strength and energy. And, Father, I ask you to send angels that every day, the Word tells us we can give angels assignment. So, Father, I ask you to give angels assignment over the lives of your kids in this room today. And as you enlarge their influence and their territory, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Guys, I want to thank you for the privilege of this whole weekend. It's been my joy to be with you guys. Do you need to say anything before we? So what we're going to do, we're going to leave it. You can leave whenever you want to. Katie and I are going to be here if anybody else needs prayer. But we're going to leave on a high. We're going to leave on this video that we played yesterday. And the name of the video is I Want to Live Alive. I Don't Want to Live a Lie. And so I play this video over myself all the time, and I ask the Lord, show me the lie. Just one lie at a time. You're not going to fix everything overnight. Life is a process. Show me the lie so that I can live alive. So she's going to get that video going. And so just again, thank you guys so, so much for this whole weekend. In Jesus' name. So watch this. This is my favorite song and video. I love it, love it, love it. I love the next generation. These guys are all young. If you hear the first sentence of what he's saying, it's so applicable to everybody's life. All right, here we go.
Existing is just breathing, but living is breathtaking. Existing is just a beating heart, but living is a racing heart. I don't want to just exist. I want to live alive.
I want to live alive. I want to live alive. I want to live alive. I want to live alive. Don't want to live alive. Don't want to live alive. I want to live alive, and you make me alive.
I love this. I want to live alive. I don't want to live a lie. And look at these next generation guys.
These things but half a lie. This little light of mine, this little spark divine, I'm gonna let it shine. I am letting go of every fear. I am letting go of every lie. I am taking hold of every dream you place inside. I wanna live alive. I wanna live alive. I wanna live alive. I wanna live alive. Don't wanna live alive. Don't wanna live alive. I wanna live alive. And you make me alive. There's danger up ahead, but I'm not running scared.